Talk About the Passion, written by Graham Farrow, directed by James Stevenson, proudly brought to you by Bamalam Productions.
Jenny, did you get those figures sent out to the States?
All done.
Did you tell?
Oh, that Mr. Carraway's still waiting to see you. He's in the lobby, and he looks pretty determined.
What part of no doesn't that man understand? Look, it doesn't matter. Send him in and I'll deal with him. I'll spit him out by six.
I think you should get in touch with Grayson. I tried to reason with him, but you know what he's like.
I'll speak to him tomorrow. He's small potatoes. Just make sure the meetings are set for tomorrow and you can go. I'll look up, but I need you in at 8:30 sharp tomorrow. It's looking like one hell of a day.
Gotcha. We'll send up Mr. Carraway now and I'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, Lloyd. What can I do for you on this pleasant morning?
Just been looking at the figures, Evelyn, and they don't scream success to me, I have to say.
Well,
Let me give you the bottom line, Evelyn, as I know you hate small talk. Your figures are way down. You're coasting, and I don't have time for coasters. I'll tell you what you can do for me. You've got 3 months to come up with a big hitter, or we'll be repainting your parking spot. Am I clear?
Son of a... Ah, Mr. Carraway, please take a seat. Well, I must say, I feel like you've wasted your time coming in today. As you know, I read the script, found it had a nice light touch, but it didn't really go anywhere. Some of the dialogue worked, but it was pretty taut in places. I just didn't see the story working.
Happiness is a myth.
I'm sorry?
Something my grandmother said to me. I wrote it on the preface.
Mr. Carraway, I'm a very busy woman. It's late and I have to...
Can you imagine what sort of person wrote that sort of manuscript? Huh? Can you? Person who writes about death, misery, grief, bloodshed. Do you think maybe that person's unhappy? Maybe he wants to set the record straight.
Well, I suppose so. Look, if you...
Do you think it might be some sort of therapy? Exercise some ghosts, maybe? All that emotion poured onto those pages came from inside. Don't you see? This is no hobby, no two-bit pastime. This is my life.
Your life? So that's you in there. You're Nick.
The diary wasn't enough. I couldn't rid myself of all the guilt and sorrow. Not like that. I had to save the day. I had to turn back the clock and stop the... Where are you going? Sit down!
Excuse me. Who do you think you're talking to? Take that restraint off this door now before you get yourself in trouble. Open this door and...
You're not going anywhere until we talk.
Put that phone cord back in now. I'm not playing games with you. Jenny? Jenny? Jenny, can you...
I think she's gone. And your security guard's asleep. It's just you and me now. Do yourself a favour. Sit down and listen to me.
You just made a huge mistake, mister.
It's not too much to ask. I just want you to listen.
Listen to what? About what?
About my son.
So the novel you wrote. Are you telling me this is a story about you and your son? Your son. Did he die?
I lost him. And I've lost everything and everyone. You die yourself, you know. My wife, she blames me. You know, if I hadn't let go of his hand. Oh, it's the way she looks at me. Her eyes tear into me. They scream at me. It's funny, you know, how you lose your looks when something like this happens. How your hair becomes greasy and you get those little pimples all over your face. You wear the same clothes for days on end, and you smell so bad that even the dogs won't go near you. You're at the doctor's 6-7 times a week, and he fills you with so many pills that you rattle all the way home. You sit down, you stare at the telly, but you can't remember what you're watching. All you see is this video in your head, the one where you suddenly realise he hasn't got your hand, and you start to panic. You just don't know where the hell to go first, but you start running all the same, and I just stopped for a sly fag, and then
so
he
ran off? Was it a car? A van?
My son was murdered, Ms. Ailes.
Murdered?
I turned my back for a second. A single second, and some pervert was waiting for him in the bushes, and I
don't want to hear this.
No, I insist. I want you to hear this, because I want you to feel how I felt. See what I saw. Learn what I learnt. I want to take you by the hand and sit you on those swings. I want you to take a look into those woods.
No. No, I can't.
I want you to smell the fear. Do you know something? I didn't even hear him scream. And by God, he must have screamed after what that guy did to him.
I think I'm going to be sick. Jenny! Jenny! Security! Security! Please!
Later, I couldn't even look at his body. They wouldn't let me. He was in such a state that I...
Please! Help me, please! What do you want from me?
Please, please! Just sit down. I want you to sit there in court and listen to what happened. Whilst that animal sits there leering at me.
Why are you doing this to me? Why are you telling me all this?
Because you're to blame.
Blame? Me? Why? Why? What have I done?
Because of this. All of this. This building. Books. Awards, trophies, manuscripts, all lined up in your tray there. Your big fat checkbook. My son is dead because of you.
I just don't understand any of this.
So, where is it?
What? Where's what?
Where is it?
I don't...
Let me make this a little bit easier for you. What is your best-selling title at the moment? Non-fiction.
It's a controversial story. The Confessions of a Mass Murderer, or a Serial Killer, or whatever you want to call it. The first-hand account of...
Get him warmer.
Ryan Miller. Oh, my God.
Pleased to meet you. Mick Miller. Afraid I cheated a bit with the name. But I guess it would have spoilt the surprise otherwise, eh? I always wanted to meet the woman who made my son's killer a celebrity. It's funny. I expected to see someone with horns sticking out of her.
Shut up! Shut up! Shut up! I can't! I can't stand this! I can't take any more of this! You've drained me! I can't hear this anymore!
You gave that son of a bitch free rein. We had no platform. Nobody saw it, have you? You put him up there. You used his every word and you turned him into a star. And for that, Evelyn Ailes, you shall rot in hell with him. Suppose I took you out right here. You know, right now. Say, I have a handgun here in my pocket. Would your boss give me a contract? Would he get Dale Lewis to play me in the miniseries? Oh, yeah. This guy, right? His son's killed, right? Yeah? He writes a novel, gets rejected by the publishers who made a million for his son's killer. Yeah, but wait a minute. The best part's when the guy holds the editor hostage, tortures her, snaps her neck like a chicken bone,
Tops are, oh, I love it. Can we get 30 mil to make it? Maybe we could get walk-on parts from Beyonce and Jay-Z.
It's all down to money, isn't it? Did you even for 1 minute think about us? Ryan's family. Or is money just so important, is it? Is it? Answer me!
Was it supposed to be like that? I got a story and they wanted a new angle. I swear to God, they took that story, a story from everyone's viewpoint, and I twisted it into some autobiography. I swear to God, I had no part in any of that. I was just a look behind his eyes.
What about my eyes? His mother's, his grandparents. What about my story? What if I'd written Michael Miller on the title page instead of Jason Carraway? Suddenly there'd be real interest, right?
What if I took another look? Maybe
oh,
I could...
you've got an answer for everything, haven't you?
Well, I...
Honestly, I don't care anymore. Just throw it in the bin. Forget it. I just came here to see you. I had to look you in the eye. I had to look at the woman who profited from my son's death.
It's not like that. I'm just trying to...
You know, the police held me for a whole day. They thought I'd done it. Some guff about most murders being committed by family members. Yeah. They thought I'd done it. My own flesh and blood. They scraped the muck from my fingernails and swabbed me cheek to cheek. Nobody gave me a brandy and told me to cry. Even when I came out, some fingers were still pointing. I was listening to the radio one day, and there was this phone in, and all these people were jamming up the switchboard asking what the hell I was doing letting a little kid out of my sight. Some suggested I was drunk, stoned even. Some said I must have been messing around, ignoring him. One woman called in and said people like me shouldn't be allowed to have kids. People like me. It were people like me. What the hell did I do to deserve all this? First my son is murdered by some animal and it's all my fault. This animal becomes a celebrity and it's me who's the outcast. It's me who can't walk the streets. And he's inside his palace, eating quail eggs and getting fan mail. Christ. You'd think it were me who killed him.
Did you get any counselling?
Aye. The usual, lay down in the chair and tell him how you feel, baloney. Doesn't work. No one can talk to me. No one knows how to talk to me.
But you can talk to me.
Because I know you. I've come to know all about you. How you operate in your little seedy world. No, Miss Ailes. I want to talk to you. Only you. And you're going to listen to me. You're going to hear a bit more.
A bit more?
Well, a lot more, actually. No one's going anywhere, right? Oh, yes. I'm going on a magical mystery ride back in time. And we're going to go over a few things. Dwell on a few things. Yeah. Let's hear my story. Let's talk about the day I was standing in Smith's, just watching the people poring over the book. The mile-long queues, the autographed copies. There was this woman, absolutely glued to it. She couldn't take her jam jar specs away from me. At one point, she actually laughed. Laughed, I tell you. Then two lads came in and picked up a copy each. They were reading bits out loud to each other. One would read a bit and then the other would say, "Oh, hang on a minute, this bit's worse." I just stood there and listened to them. Watched them revelling in it. They were like vultures, enjoying it, being entertained by it. I felt like going over and smacking their heads in. But I thought about the headlines in the Sun the next day. Madman father of murdered child causes mayhem in bookshop. What's the point? I stayed in there so long that the security guard came over and asked me to leave. Thought I was there to lift a few encyclopedias or something. I told him I had a right to be there. A right to know which monsters were buying the book. And you know what he said to me?
No.
He looked me right in the eye and I kid you not, he eyeballed me and told me he had a right to go home. Can you believe that? So I said to him as he frog marched me out the shop, I said, "Hey dickhead, I'm going to bomb this shop and all the other shops in this country who are stuck in this filth, and you're going to get the first blast." So I went home, got drunk and tried to make a Molotov cocktail. Ended up setting fire to the garage. Then I went upstairs and threw up and went to bed. How can anybody read about somebody else's suffering and actually enjoy it? That child of mine died alone, frightened, not knowing what was happening to him. Kids who have to die should be with their parents, holding them, reassuring them, cuddling them. I'll never be able to forget that he died knowing I wasn't there, that I let him down. His photo stares down at me from the mantelpiece every day, and he says to me, "Where were you, you bastard? Where were you? Where were you?" Do you dream, Miss Ailes? You have good dreams.
I dream. Yes. Some good, some bad.
I used to have this dream. I still do, in fact. That it was just this terrible mistake. And I'd come down the stairs and that he'd just be sat at the breakfast bar washing his face with the milk from his Cheerios. That he'd start nagging me about what I'd go and buy his puppy, and I'd sit there and just ruffle his hair and tell him he'd better go ask his mum, her being the boss, you know. And then he'd change right there in the chair. He's suddenly older, harassing me to go and kick the ball around in the garden. He'd get the ball dribble around me and feign a heart attack because I'm old, you see, before sticking the ball in the goal. Then, he's older still. He says he wants money for a film and a burger. He's taking some good looker out after the football match. Always watches Middlesbrough, home and away. Then he's older still, and he's playing at the Riverside, and he swaps passes with Janino before scoring on his debut. I'm in the crowd with my Borough shirt on with Miller number 7 on back, and I'm telling the guy next to me that the new lad's my Ryan, and he's going to play for England one day. And then I wake up, and the rain's lashing against the window. I have to get on with my life.
What about your friends?
They're funny, you know. There's this distance. They don't know how to approach you. They'll see you in the supermarket and then they'll tap the watches telling you that they're half an hour late and that they'll talk to you another time. But you know, it's like I'm just some sort of Jonah. Oh, don't hang around with him. Your kids might get killed as well. It's a small town. Everybody knows your business. You can't hide, and people, when they see you, they just don't know what to say. A couple of months later, I was standing in the supermarket one day and I found myself just standing in front of the cereal section. It's just breaking my heart, staring at the boxes. The Cheerios. Then I started to put things in my basket. Didn't even realise. Stupid things like tins of chickpeas and boxes of Bisto. I was like a madman.
knocking people out of the way to get to the shelves. I just started putting things in my pockets and then in my mouth, and at one point I was just munching spaghetti sticks and drinking cooking oil. I just didn't know what I was doing. If someone had come up to me and told me I was the Queen of Sheba, I'd have believed them. Anyway, this guy comes over and he marches me into his office, and they were ready to throw the book at me when someone says, "Hang on a minute, that's Mickey Miller, the guy whose son's been killed," and they all smile. That sweet, squirmy smile. Make me a cup of tea and give me a complimentary hamper. You know, the guy's nuts, just humour him. Then they sent for me dad to come and fetch me. And the first thing I thought about when Ryan was missing wasn't, "Oh my God, my boy's missing." It was, "What would my dad think of me?" It happened very close to where they live. Dad crosses the park every morning for his paper. Ryan was at that age where he just adores his nana and granddad. Their house being a sweet shop and a playground all rolled into one. Dad used to walk him through the park, kick the ball with him and gather the conkers. They crouched down and watched the squirrels, and Ryan would howl with delight whenever he spotted one. Wonder if he saw one before he... I should have been there for him.
People, they just don't understand. It's very hard sometimes to understand someone else's pain.
What?
It's hard for people...
Oh, don't pretend you know what's going on.
Why wouldn't I?
You talk as if...
As if I've been there?
Right.
I have to have been there. I'd have to have seen hell, then I know. Is that what you're saying here?
Bingo.
You think you know me?
What?
Well, you sit there. You attack me. Abuse me. You tell me what I think and how I feel. It's good that you know everything about me, because you know how I suffer, how I...
Suffer? You! Do me a favor!
Who do you think you are? You don't know what my life's like, what it's been like. You don't know anything at all about me. You rant and rave about people and hate and pain and... But you can't see past your own nose. You are not the only person who has suffered.
Well, maybe I want other people to suffer like I did. Maybe I want Roth's family to be pointed at and harassed. Maybe I want reporters camped on their doorsteps and rummaging through the bins. Maybe I want a telescopic lens poked towards their living rooms, not mine. Okay? Now, do you think I'm asking too much? Am I?
But they do suffer. You're so full of anger and pain that you can't see other people. Can't, won't listen to them. There's something deep within all of us. Some secret buried down. A place where none of us like to return. None of us.
And you've been down there? Right down there. A place so dark, so evil, so full of dirt and slime that you...
I have.
No, you haven't been down there. Not you. I see you in your Gucci world. You haven't been down there. Way down there.
Oh, you want to go there? Really? You want to swap stories? Huh? You want to rate my pain? Is that right, mister? Or is it you just... It's just you who's ever had it tough.
It's no story here. I just see privilege. I see money. I see that
you... If only you knew.
Not interested.
Nothing to see here. You've got nothing to say.
Okay, let's see, huh? Let's trade stories. So we've heard your story, heard how and why you hate, why you only see pain and rain and shadows, and I had everything.
You had everything. Looks to me like
great husband. Loved the bones of me. Great career, great life. But it was never enough. I was searching for the next big thing, looking for the book which would make the whole world sit up. I didn't want the number two book. Always searching. Always.
I'm not hearing anything here.
I wasn't a great wife to Ron. I really wasn't. He gave me the whole world, but I didn't want it. He gave me a child. He gave me a child, but I wasn't ready to be a mother. I couldn't. I didn't want anything stopping me from getting to the top, so I asked the boss if I could carry on working, and he said I could, but I knew there was this woman, and she was eyeing my job, and she was good, and I couldn't take the chance. I couldn't let anything get in the way, so I was greedy and stupid and selfish, and I lost my child, and when I tried again with my husband, there were complications from them, and I can't conceive. I killed my child, Mr. Carraway. I was greedy, and I killed my child, and I grieve every minute of every day, and you sit there and you tell me I haven't seen hell. You look me in the eye now and tell me that.
I am sorry to hear that.
I wonder.
What?
I was just thinking about something then. About
what?
I was just thinking, what if you stood there in the park and saw him? Saw Roth just before he grabbed Ryan, and you could kill him there and then. If he was there and you knew what he would do, you'd read the stories, you knew he was looking for another victim.
What the hell are you talking about?
I know if I could. If I could change the past, I would. If I could have that child again, if I had a second chance.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. You can't equate what happened to you with my situation. You had a choice. I had no choice. Slight difference, don't you think?
But I'm saying I would change it. We're still talking about the death of a loved one. If I could go back, I would. You know, you would.
What are you talking about? How can you sit there and listen to me and then start telling me what I would and wouldn't do? You're talking about an unborn child. Nothing. I'm talking about a loved and loving boy. A human being with his own personality, his own qualities, his ability to give happiness and love. I'm talking about someone who had everything to live for.
And there's a difference.
Of course there's a bloody difference.
Not to millions of others, there isn't a difference.
I don't care about other people. I don't care about you. You are the woman who has profited from my son's death. You're the
think
one
you've
that...
got some sort of monopoly on grief. You don't know anything. You know I'm right. You would go out there and kill Roth. You know that, and I know that. You know that.
You know nothing. You hear me? Nothing.
I know you would. Anyone with as much pain, as much hatred as you, they would. I know you would because...
Because what?
Because
what? Come on, let me have it. Give it to me, you're crazy.
Because you'll get respect. You'll get that love back. They'll all see. They'll all know what it did to you. They're waiting. All of them waiting for the payback.
So I should go out now and kill him. Is that it? Shall I stop at him or do I carry on? You know, go right through the old prison population.
He wasn't here. If his face wasn't on the front of a book, then it would be over, wouldn't it? He wouldn't be there to pick up his royalty check. or eat his duck a la orange or whatever. He wouldn't be able to hurt you anymore.
So what, kill him, then serve 20 years myself for murder?
And what jury would convict you?
No chance.
I'm telling you. You wouldn't go to jail for an act of revenge. You'll have every person in the country behind you. When you get home, they'll keep the pub open all night and they'll crowd round you, patting you on the back, shaking your hand, telling you you've done the right thing. People in this country have had enough of all this crime. Don't you think it might make some other nutcase sit down and think twice before he goes out to commit a crime if he thought he might have to pay for that crime? I mean, really pay?
Yeah, maybe where you're from, love, but not here.
No. If he committed a crime, a heinous crime, and thought he might die as a result, don't you think it might affect his decision?
Oh, it's all so simple. And life's as simple as all that, isn't it? What planet have you been living on recently?
You've seen those men in those documentaries. They're the ones who've lost sons and daughters to mass murderers. How many of them last into their 60s? Not only sorrow, it's guilt. It's failure. The failure to not only protect, but to bring justice.
Justice? Who gets justice nowadays?
Exactly. The ordinary man on the street doesn't, that's for sure.
But you can't get away with it. If I went out there and killed him, I couldn't get away with it. It's impossible. It's...
What about the others? The other kids he killed?
The others.
Think about their families. It's not just for you and your family. It's for them. You're helping them. That's the justice. The justice is ridding him from the equation. I mean, what about Danny Williams' father?
Danny Williams' father?
He didn't see any justice. He slid downhill real fast. Only weeks after burying his son in a closed coffin, the chest pains hit him straight away and claimed him 6 months ago. Where's his justice, Mr. Miller? And what about Mrs. Williams? She's lost two members of her family. Who's going to help her? Who's there for her to pick up the pieces? You think people are lining up to help her?
Well, she's on her own. There's no one helping her.
Justice. Justice for everyone. For all the families. That's all they want. All they ask for. It's all Mrs. Williams wants.
For them. Maybe I could do it for them. Maybe.
You know, Roth killed your son because it didn't matter to him. He literally thought, what the hell? He knew he'd be caught and jailed regardless. A more callous act. A heavier sentence. More security. Away from all the angry prisoners with their fists and broken bottles. He knew the law all right, better than any of us. And the saddest piece of this whole conundrum is if he hadn't been let out the first time, and if life meant a life of breaking rocks and living on bread and water, or if you were hanged, well...
Then Ryan would still be alive. He's got nothing to lose, and I'm sitting at home seeing ghosts everywhere I turn. Is all of this in the book? All this detail? Did he actually say all of that about killing meaning nothing to him? That it was some sort of decoy for a cozier standard of living?
That man didn't hold back one iota. He's having his own poke at the public. Who can't get enough of all this sickness and depravity. He's laying it on with a trowel. If he ever slips up, he's got the best lawyers in town, ready to stand him up on his feet and slap in a couple of lawsuits for him. Do you know he's actually thinking of launching an appeal? On a technicality?
What?
Heard it only last week? And I tell you something, Mr. Miller. Some guys in this office are taking bets on the outcome. They reckon he's 5-1 to walk off into the sunset towards more playgrounds, more parks.
He's getting out.
It's not certain, but...
People are backing him to get out.
Lawyers are actually helping him.
Oh, my God.
My life is hanging by the threads. My wife has left me. My father can't look me in the eye. Danny Williams, his father's dead, and they're talking about appeals. That animal has nothing to lose. I just don't...
All those marriage breakups, broken hearts, broken communities. Think of the whole area scared out of their wits for the 15 months he was on the rampage. Can you imagine going through that again? Imagine some other community, some other parents. Your dad. What would he think? What would he make of all this?
I can't.
What would he think of you now? What would he want of you? Expect of you?
He'd want me to kill Roth. That's for sure.
Payback. Righting the wrongs.
When Dad'd go out into the Three Swans after Ryan's death, he'd get the look. Same one I've had every day of my life, and by Christ, he hated that look. My dad was made to feel ashamed by all these cronies. He'd failed because I'd failed. And in their eyes, he was as much to blame as I was. He wasn't welcome in that circle anymore. And he hated that I'd failed him.
You can't fail him again.
Those boys don't cry and rant and rave. They don't sit in front of the counsellors and doctors and analysts. They don't mess around. They act and...
And?
And they're waiting for me to act. Stop acting like a tart and carve that son of a bitch up good and proper.
And you're ready. Tell him. Tell him now. Your dad's here, next to you. Let him have it. Tell him how you feel. Tell him what all this did to you. What he did to you? He has to know. Has to know what it did to you.
I could never do anything right. Never. He never got me at no point. Nothing I ever did was good enough. It wasn't my fault, Dad. He ran away.
Sounds familiar, that. You've been running all your life.
Oh, don't you dare.
Always needed your hand-holding. Always needed someone to pick you up and show you what to do. Always needed me to go round to someone's house because some lad had hit you and I had to go and sort it out for you.
You round some lad's house. You were never around. You know nothing about what it was like for me as a kid because you were never there.
What are you talking about?
You never gave a toss about anyone but yourself. I had to learn myself. The hard way. Me and my mum. You only turned up again when I earned a few quid and you wanted an handout. You left mum and me to get on with it and you just sit there and you talk about me running away. You were the weak one. The one who couldn't tough it out. When mum took you back all those years later, it was the stupidest thing that she ever did. You did nothing for me. Nothing. I made sure I was nothing like you. Could never do anything right as a kid. There was always something wrong. Didn't matter what grade I got or what positions I played in the team, you always wanted more. I never pleased you. Never did enough. The one thing I did right, the one bloody thing you couldn't even credit me for, the one thing I did right was Ryan.
Credit? You want credit? You left your son in a park for some maniac to run off with, you idiot.
Do you think I don't hate myself for that? I know what happened more than any person alive. I have to live with it every day, for Christ's sake.
So do something about it. Put it right. You need to put things right. You know what you have to do. I'm telling you, you wimp out now and you'll never, ever live with yourself and you'll carry it round to the day you die. The time you could have done something and you ran away.
Oh, right. Right, so it's easy, eh? I'll put a bullet in him and Ryan comes back, is that it?
I'm just telling you what everyone's thinking. All of them, including that publisher, all of them remembering Michael Miller, remembering what he was like as a kid, what he was like when he grew into a man. Always ran away. He's running now. The one chance he's got to put it right.
You give me a time machine and I'll make it right.
You know this is right. You run back home now and you should just keep on running. You know what to do. It shouldn't need me to tell you. You can hate me. You can curse me for not being around. Whatever baloney you think happened. But you know I'm right. Somewhere in that yellow gut of yours, you damn well know I'm right. Deep down, you know it. You know I'm right, but you can't accept that you got this all wrong.
You're wrong. This putting a bullet in him. You think I haven't thought about it? Really? I've thought about nothing else, but it solves nothing and Ryan will still be dead. Now do me a favour and leave me alone. We've got nought to say to each other. We never did.
You know he's right. He may have done a lot of bad things, but you know he's right. You have to do it. You have to end this. You have to erase it all. Make it better. You have to kill Roth.
It's not for me. My dad. It's for Ryan. It's for all the others, the other families. I think for them. I think I can. I think I should. For them.
The right thing.
How do I get him?
You're sure?
I'm sure.
You won't be able to get inside. Nigh on impossible. Certainly won't be able to get in a gun, even if I got you a pass saying you were the new guy on the story. No. It'll have to be on the outside.
How exactly?
Can you get a gun? A powerful long ranger, just in case?
Yeah, I should think so. I know somebody who knows somebody, and that somebody would be able to teach me how to hit the target as well.
Every Tuesday, he's been having treatment on an abscessed tooth. It was a routine job at first, but he ignored it, and it got too bad too fast. They can't do it inside, so he has to be farmed out to a specialist center. Guess who's footing the bill? They didn't believe him at first, thought he was looking for a way to get out and pull an escape on them. Anyway, he finally persuaded them. They put more security on him than the royal family, put him in an armored van at 11:30 on the button, and return on the hour, not a minute later. You'll have to park around the corner, watch for the return, then move in. You'll get one chance as the van pulls up just outside the gates to drop him off. They don't go inside for some reason, just open the smaller steel door and let him back inside. Two officers will flank him to escort him in. Getting close as you can. Two shots. Drop the gun and let them grab you. No histrionics.
What if someone notices a car parked in the vicinity and a nervous guy loitering around with a large bulge in his pocket ain't exactly inconspicuous?
Park as far from the main building as you can. Leave it in the car park near the hypermarket and walk. Put the gun in the holdall. Maybe you should carry a couple of bags of groceries. Look like an ordinary shopper. Just discard the bags when you're near him.
Or will anyone recognize me? Anyone, any of the officers leaving the building or anything?
Didn't think so. Wear a cap, part your hair down the middle or something. Maybe grow a beard.
Right. And two shots.
As quick as you can. No fumbling. If you miss the chance, you'll never get another. Don't speak to him. It might throw you. Just get in close. Do it. Remember, he's not stupid.
And the guards?
They won't be armed, and they'll probably be cuffed to him. At least one of them, anyway. They can't hinder you because of that immobility, and he certainly can't hit back. It's all about timing and speed. They won't be expecting anything. It'll be the same Tuesday as the past half a dozen. Use that surprise to your advantage.
And when it's over?
Don't rant and rave, and don't use any bad language. Don't harass the guards in any way. And make sure you don't hurt them in the slightest. Do it all cleanly, and the jury will be more sympathetic. Two shots to the head. Drop the gun and stand still. Nobody will hurt you. Neither the guards outside or anybody inside. And don't think for 1 minute they actually care what happens to this guy. There'll be no love lost. They know what he did, and they know the world will be a safer place once he's gone. In fact, they'll probably have a couple of beers on you down at their local club later that night.
Right. Fine.
Okay. You got everything? Everything clear?
Yeah, I think so.
Two shots. In close. 11:30, back on the hour. When you walk, make sure you don't arouse the suspicions of the van driver. Keep out of his range. Stick to what I said, and there'll be no problems.
Right then. I'll be in touch.
Yeah. You do that.
This is Fiona Collins with the Lunchtime News. This just in. News from the courthouse is that Mr. Michael Miller, vigilante killer of mass murderer Mr. Stephen Roth, was today sentenced to 7 years in prison for the cold-blooded slaughter of his son's killer. Although Judge Robert Monroe conceded that Miller was under considerable emotional stress resulting from his son's death, he could in no way condone Miller's actions. While citing that Miller was in no way a danger to the public, the judge commented on the sheer brutality of the slaying, referring to the 5 shots, one being from close range to the temple. Miller himself refuses to talk to reporters, but his campaigners have stated that they will not rest until he is released. More news in later editions.
Did I hear the news, Lloyd?
I heard it, and I just gotta say, Evelyn, I can't imagine a better publicity campaign for the book. I just spoke with the number crunchers downstairs, and they're smelling big numbers.
Oh, how wonderful!
Tell me, Evelyn, how did you come up with this juicy story?
Oh, come on, my dear Lloyd. A great writer never reveals her sources, right?
You got a title for this little beauty yet?
I was thinking Roth versus Miller. The whole story.
I like it. It's catchy. It's punchy. And it'll get the registers rattling.
That's what I like to hear.
Oh, and later, we'll have to talk about a new contract for you. Can't let my star get away now, right?
You'll have to speak to my agent.
I'm on it.
Come, have a glass of champers with me.
Save one for me. Catch you later, superstar.
A few letters and a couple of packages, Evelyn.
People still send letters?
Feels like a CD in this one. Well, I'll leave it with you. Many congrats again.
Thanks, Jenny.
Testing, 1, 2. 1, 2, Hello, Miss Ailes. I thought you might find this interesting.
Can you get a gun? A powerful long ranger, just in case? Get in close. As close as you can. 2 shots. Then drop the gun. Stick to what I've said and there'll be no problems. Remember, the world will be a safer place without him.
You have been listening to Talk About the Passion, written by Graham Farrow, directed by James Steventon, starring Danny Harris as Evelyn, James Steventon as Carraway, Jacob Lander as Sid, Richard P. Peralta as Lloyd, and Beth Lilly as Jenny. Thank you.